Before I start, I'm going to give a little bit of introduction or give a little of what I'm going to. As Brother Tom said, I'm going into my sophomore year at Bob Jones. I'm going up there hopefully for a four-year degree. I'm not looking to get any more than that, really. So I'm leaving two Thursdays from now, so not this Thursday, but the next, which is the 23rd. So if y'all have anything wrong with what I say, then y'all can just yell at me next Sunday. Don't give it to me this Sunday, because that would just scare me. There's a lot of people here that I know that don't usually come. Hey, Alex, how are you? Tim? I appreciate y'all coming and supporting me and listening to me. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. I heard a story of an old man. He was saying one time that he loved hearing young men preach because, you know, they're young, they're energetic, so, you know, they're fairly loud, and they're done in 10 to 15 minutes. So I'm not promising I'll be done that quickly, but don't expect me to be too awfully long-winded. John chapter 15. We'll start in verse 1. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity. I pray that your words would be spoken and not mine. Lord, if there's anything in my notes that is wrong, that you would just help me to just skip over it, help my mind to just skip over it, and that just your truth and your word would be spoken tonight. Pray all these things in your name. Amen. Jesus is giving another one of his wonderful illustrations, as he so often does in Scripture. He's speaking of the relationship between himself, God the Father, and us. He gives this illustration of a vine, and he's speaking to the Israelites here, and really focusing on their agricultural life. And it's a really, really good illustration. He begins by explaining the relationship between himself, Jesus, and the Father. And then he gets down in verse 4, where he says, Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now, this is a wonderful illustration. Like, the vine, I enjoy this illustration because you see all three parts of the Trinity. Even though it doesn't say all three parts, they're still all there, if you think about it for a minute. You see, the Father is the husbandman. He watches over the vine. He watches over the entirety of the people that are Jesus Christ and the branches that are in Jesus Christ. Then you have the vine, who is really the structure of our entire faith, is Jesus Christ. Everything that we believe in is because of Christ. And then you have the Holy Spirit, which isn't mentioned here, but he's there. If you think about it, what is it that runs through the vine and through branches in a grapevine or a muscadine vine or really any plant that lives and grows and provides fruit? Sap. Sap flows through, is part of Jesus Christ and is part of us. So that's where you see the Trinity there. Now, find my place. Jesus is allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us is important. If we don't allow it to work through us, we're unfruitful. If you look at it, if you think about it, you know, a lot of us will go through our daily lives, and we're Christians, and we're told to tell others about Christ, to do things for God and to just witness to people. And some of us might say, you know, a lot of us don't do it. I know, you know, me, it took me a while to get used to it. I still don't do it as often as I should. But, you know, the Lord says that we should do it. And a lot of us, you know, in my place, you know, oh, I'm too shy. I don't want to do it, you know, or, you know, maybe you're thinking, oh, I'm not smart enough to really explain the story of Jesus Christ to somebody. Or, you know, maybe you're thinking, oh, well, you know, maybe they're a little, you know, shy. Maybe they're busy or whatever. And so, you know, if they talk to me first, then I'll talk to them. And then they do talk to you. Jesus goes over to them and says, hey, go talk to them. They got a story for you. And then they go over to you and they talk to you. And then you still don't talk to them about Jesus. We need to be witnesses for them, for God. And, you know, if you don't do that, if you don't allow that power, you have all the power, you have all the knowledge you will ever need through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you as a Christian. It dwells in you. So if you're not allowing that sap, you're not allowing that energy that is inside of you to help you to produce fruit, you're not being fruitful for God. Now say you are allowing God to work through you. You're doing everything that you're supposed to do. You're Christian, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're witnessing. But you never really see your fruit. You never really see fruit developing in your life. Sometimes you just can't be discouraged by that. Because in the end, God is the one that ultimately determines how much fruit you really did bear. If you're going through your life and you're witnessing to people that you don't see every day, or you hand out tracts, you know, at Walmart or at a convenience store, but you don't see that fruit developing, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not developing fruit. You're not bringing forth fruit because you never really see that maybe. You might not see that person every single day. You might not see them ever again. So really, you know, some of us get discouraged. You know, we're like, oh, we don't see any fruit really going through in our lives. But really, that fruit is being shown somewhere else. You're watering, you're, you know, planting a seed. Someone else comes along, waters it, waters a little bit more. Someone else comes here, there, and everywhere else. And then God gives the increase. It's kind of like being a parent. I'm not a parent at all. But I thought it was a good illustration, you know. We just saw, me, mom, dad, and we all had Elizabeth leave. She's up in New York nursing now. And, yeah, we're kind of sad that she kind of left, but, you know, she's up there and she's doing what she wants to do. And, oh, well, completely different illustration. That is related to kind of how we're purged. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. We're going through life, and we see people go out of our lives for one reason or another. Us with Elizabeth, she's up in New York now. You know, parents that have, you know, kids that are gone away and doing different things other places. You know, you're sad that they're gone, but God is purging you. And that's not a bad word. Purging is not bad. It's actually really good. Whenever you look at the illustration, the vine, when you're purged, when a vine or a plant is purged or pruned, it's really taken and it's taking something away that is good and or, you know, bad or whatever, and it's allowing you to bring forth more fruit. It allows it to grow even more and more and more. So really, that's what it's allowing you to do. The Lord's pruning you. He's taking things off of you so that you can do more. And then he's taking that and he's doing something else with it that could be useful. Now, there's other things that take a garden. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Sometimes things are taken away and we don't understand why, maybe. Think of a garden. Who in here has a garden? Or understands how to grow a garden, at least, has a basic idea? Not many hands. Okay. But hopefully y'all get this illustration. When you go out to prepare a garden, what do? You go out, you plow up the ground, get it nice and loose. You maybe fertilize it, which you need to do here in Georgia because the Georgia red clay is not very fertile. And you fertilize the ground, and after you fertilize it, you know, you make your lanes, you plant your seeds. And after you plant your seeds, you let it, you maybe water it, give it a little water, and it starts to grow. But after that, do you just go out there and water it every now and again and just not watch it? No. What do? You watch it. Why do you watch it? Because there's these little annoying plants that don't do anything. They look bad. They don't bring any fruit whatsoever, and they suck the life out of the ground that the good plants are trying to use. What are those little things? Weeds. Weeds are annoying. They suck out the ground. Sometimes, like at my yard, we need the weeds because that's all it can grow. I mean, really. Like, we have a few patches of grass, but it's mostly weeds, which I'm thankful because it actually looks green halfway. But, you know, whenever you're, you know, you see those things, and they're growing, they're thriving, but they're not good for your garden because they're taking the life out of the ground that the other plants could be using. So sometimes God has to go to those things. Now, He doesn't call those branches weeds. He calls them, they're still branches. But they're taking up nourishment that other people could be using. And sometimes He has to take those things away for a little while and allow the other people around that are using the fruit and they to really grow so that they can prosper. He has to take something away so that the rest of us can prosper. Sometimes that can be discouraging, but I don't really think it should be discouraging to us because we see that and we're like, you know, that's, you know, I wish they would come back. I wish they would, you know, be brought back. But sometimes the Lord takes them away for a little while and then brings them back. What if you're not bearing any fruit? I know I'm not the one to judge that, but just say, you know, you're not bearing fruit. But you do everything that you're supposed to do. You come to church every day. You pray every day. You read your Bible every day. Do devotions every day. Witness to people. Go out on visitation. You do everything that you're supposed to do. And yet you still see no fruit. And there is no fruit in your life whatsoever. Sometimes we do things for other people to see and not for God. Sometimes we need to, you know, we do things and there's no fruit in them whatsoever. Sometimes people that come to church every day and sometimes we think they're saved, but they're really not. And we don't know it. They know it. God knows it. But they don't want to admit it because they don't want to look bad. I remember a little less than a month ago, Zeke Busey. When I got to NGM, he was one of my campers at NGM. And when I looked down my little list, I looked at it and I was like, oh, cool, I have, you know, these three guys, and Zeke was one of them, that were from our church. So I was like, okay, so, you know, these guys, you know, they're Christians, I know they're Christians, so, you know, I can talk to them a little bit more about a little bit more mature things. You know, maybe not extremely mature, but a little bit more mature because they are Christians. And then Monday night, Zeke came to me. I was going around asking for, you know, people's testimonies, and Zeke said that he got saved that night. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, I thought you were already saved. And we've had several examples of that. Who was the woman? Michelle Epps. We all thought she was saved. Brother Tom thought she was saved. She worked in this church. She worked in the nursery for many years. But she was doing everything that she was supposed to do as a Christian, but she was not saved. Sometimes you're not part of the vine that Christ is. You're not part of that vine. So maybe that's why you're not bearing any fruit. Maybe you need to just come back and just see if you're truly saved. I was done in 15 minutes. So where are you in your walk with Jesus? Are you relying on Him for your energy and strength? Are you allowing that sap to flow through you freely and unstopped? Are you allowing that to flow? If so, awesome. I'm glad. You're bearing fruit. You're allowing that sap, that energy to flow through you, and other people are coming to Christ because of you. Or are you like that little weed in the garden, or that branch that's taken up energy? Are you saved, but you're not doing what you should be doing? You're really stopping the flow of sap to go through all the branches and allowing the full power of Christ to flow through the church. If that's the case, you need to stop and think and pray that, Lord, I'm keeping the flow of energy from happening. Forgive me and allow that flow of sap to flow through me and through the others around me. Or are you that one that's sitting there and you're doing everything right? You're sitting there on the pew and you're like, I'm saved. Or am I? Am I not? Am I? I think I am. I think I'm good. I'm not sure. But everyone else thinks I am, so yeah, I'm good. And you're doing everything right, but that deep down you know I'm not a Christian. But everyone else thinks I am, so I don't want to look bad. Come back. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Allow Him to save you. And become part of the vine, the wonderful vine that Jesus is. Allow Him to change your life. Allow Him to flow through you. And allow Him to let you bear fruit.